So last week's offering, folks, was $2,390. Our total for the month of June was $5,051. And our disbursements for July, we gave another $1,000 to Andrew Womack's ministry. And again, anybody that's here that doesn't understand what that's about, we're just 100% on board with his ministry. They've started building student housing up there. 80% of his stuff's given away. He has the potential to reach 5 billion people, 5 billion people through his ministry. And I agree with 99.99% of everything he says, except reading out that King James Version of the Bible. Can I get an amen? All right. And then we gave $500 this month to CareNet. We're doing that because of the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the threats that's been made on crisis pregnancy centers. So we gave them $500. We only gave $1,000 to Samaritan's Purse. So for the month of July, hear this out now, we've given away $3,500. What the Lord has been able to do through us because of some decisions we've made has just been amazing. And I don't want us to overlook that blessing. And when I say us, I mean mostly me, because I tend to look at the negative stuff instead of the positive stuff. So anyway, just in the month of July alone, and we still got one more day in July. Today's the 31st. So this offering will count towards July. But we've given 35, and I looked it up. We're averaging $4,000. Basically, fundamentally, here's what's going on. All the donations that come in are given away. The payment that the church makes to us is used for rent. Everything else that comes in here goes to other ministries. So you need to give yourselves a round of applause. And you need to let all of the other churches in Sierra Vista know what we're doing. In Jesus' name. We are continuing our journey in the Gospel of John. How many of you are following along with me on Facebook? We're up to chapter 14. In church, we have not gotten past chapter 1 of verse 12. So today I'm going to try to do something about that. I'm going to also talk a little bit about chapter 2 and chapter 3. Because what we're going to talk about today is basic, fundamental Christianity. Basic, fundamental Christianity. And I'm here to tell you that I'm certain that less than 1% of Christian people actually understand what we're going to talk about today. And that's why there's a place for what we're doing. Amen. Can I get some kind of an amen? So our verse that we're springing from is John 17:3, and I'm going to try not to make too many observations about it, but it says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you." Who's speaking here, by the way? Jesus. Words in red. "And this is eternal life, that they may know you." Say these four words with me. Say it again. "The only true God." I don't know. The older I get, the more I am impressed with nature. Anybody else that way? When I was a younger person, I didn't pay no attention to stuff. All I cared about were girls and sports. And sports and girls. But the older I get, I pay more attention to nature and how beautiful things are and how wonderfully made we all are. We're watching a series. It's called Virgin River. It's a soap opera. That's what it is. It's a soap opera. It's shown in Vancouver, Washington. And I told Teresa, that's probably the most beautiful place I've ever seen in my life. Because we just come from Lake Tahoe, and that's beautiful. But there's only one God, and He made everything. And He lets everybody share in His sunlight. Amen. If it was up to me, there'd be some people that wouldn't get to share that sunlight. You know that moron, that demon-possessed kid that went in there and killed those poor little kids in that school building? He didn't deserve to have the sun shine on him, and yet the sun shined on him because God is humble and He's the Creator. Now, he's in hell for all of eternity. You know that, don't you? Don't worry about that. But I mean, it's just amazing. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. I'm thinking in my head, I may have to quit putting these verses up because I can't get past them. But the only true God, and that's a conjunction, function, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He sent him. Let's go to John 1:12, and that's what we talked about last week. I just want to review very briefly on this verse, because this verse highlights the two biggest obstacles we've had to overcome in teaching people the Bible. This verse highlights it, and it's John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him," talking about Jesus, "but as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the privilege," and I want you to say, "he gave the right or the privilege," say these words, "to become." You had to become something. You weren't something, and you had to become something. He gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Briefly, quickly, review time, quickly. Two things that we've had to deal with. Number one, the choice is yours. You do not have to believe in Jesus if you don't want to. And so the concept that God is making people do things, or God is controlling you and making you be the way you are, is a false concept created from the devil to keep you from doing what's necessary in order to receive the benefits of God. God made us as free moral agents. If anyone wills, let him come, and me and my Father will come and live in him. I stand at the door and knock, but you got to open the door. And that little simple truth right there has caused us more persecution than anything that I can even begin to tell you. Because people think that they're in the position they're in because that's the way God wanted it. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That was number one. Number two, you can't receive something you don't know about. So you have, every single one of us in this room that are Christians that have operated this verse, we operated this verse because somebody told it to us. So you can't pray somebody into heaven. You can't hide out in a prayer closet and get people born again. You have to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And again, that's why the church has been so weak, and that's why we haven't seen a great revival, is because we're huddling together thinking that the answer to America is to pray for America, when the answer for America is to tell America about Jesus. And the persecution that will come from that. The people on The View will not like you for saying that. Nobody on CNN or MSNBC is going to like you for saying that. Almost all the politicians in Washington, D.C. won't like you for saying that. They killed the Lord Jesus Christ because he told them that he was the only true God, that God was the only true God, and that he represented him. That's not going to go away. And if I made any mistake in the past in this ministry, I didn't say that enough to people, and I created this sense that we were going to live in nirvana and float around and not have to worry about anything. No, you got to deal with the rotten, stinking devil, because you are interrupting his kingdom. But Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation, and get down in the dumps, get depressed, and take as many Xanax as you can get your hands on. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Verse 13, I'm going on, I'm leaving. All right, who were born? What happens to you when you receive him? What happens to you when you receive him? Who were born? not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. In other words, a man and a woman didn't make you born again. Thank God a man and a woman made you born. Jordan, I expect a loud amen out of you. You're welcome. It's not turned out too bad, has it? One day I'm going to have, you know what we're going to do? One day I'm going to take a picture of his room. No, not that it's a dirty room. It's not that dirty. Teresa keeps it clean because she loves her boat. But he's got electronical gadgets. He's got 4 different devices running at all times, and then he's got his Apple earpods in, so he can't hear nothing I'm saying to him. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, you have to be born from above. Now, guess what I'm going to do today? I'm going to look for a little pat on the back. I'm going to introduce some stuff out of chapter 2 and chapter 3. But we're not done with chapter 1, because remember, the first 18 verses of John chapter 1 are the greatest verses ever recorded in human history. If you stay around long enough and we get through John some more, you'll find out I'll probably change my mind and change it to chapter 3. But anyway, right now I'm holding to that, okay? You have to be born of God. In chapter 2, we'll get into there. Chapter 2, I'll just kind of do a little overview. Chapter 2 tells the story that Jesus begins his ministry, and at the start of his ministry, guess who goes along with him? His disciples and his brother and his mother. Now, you're going to find out down the road for sure. You're going to find out down the road for sure his brothers turn their back on him, and they turn their back on him to the point that they actually want to see him get killed by sending him to Jerusalem, because there's people in Jerusalem that will kill him. How many of you know it's really smart to not go places where you think you might get killed? Huh? Now, whether or not his mom turned against him, it's not exactly said in the scriptures, other than the fact that the other gospel writers record that Jesus is preaching one day, and they tell him that his mom and his brothers are, evidently his dad died at some point in his life, but they tell him that his mom and his brothers are outside and they'd like to talk to him. And he says to the people that told him that information, he said, "Here are my brothers and my sister and my mother and my father, the people that hear the word of God and do it." So the only thing that bothers me about some of the movies, and I love The Chosen, I'm 100% behind it. I thank God for The Passion of the Christ and Mel Gibson and what he did. But the only thing that bothers me is you got to be real careful that you don't over-elevate Mary. Got to be real careful. And again, people hear me say this and they say, "There he goes again." Well, if you're praying rosary beads, you're wasting your time. There you go. Why can we say this? Because we have no mortgage. That's why we can say we have no mortgage. Oh, the day I don't have a mortgage on my house, there's going to be a couple of clients that I'm going to moon. And that'll be enough to run them off. That's the only thing you got to be careful of. You got to be. Now listen, what she did was amazing and remarkable. Do not underestimate what she did. Somebody comes to you and tells you you're going to have a child, and you're already engaged to a man to be married. She'd already been in. Joseph had already picked her. Yeah, Joseph had already picked her out. I thought it may have been Tom Cruise or somebody, but it was Joseph. Joseph had already picked her out. She was engaged to be married. An angel appears to her and says, "Hey, guess what? Highly favored one. You're going to have a child. Holy Spirit's going to come upon you." And she said, "How can this be? I don't know a man." But she said, "Be it done to me according to your word. I'll receive it." Now, she had no idea what it meant. Nobody would have. And then when he comes along and he starts getting in trouble with the Pharisees and the religious people, that gets on her a little bit. So anyway, whether or not she turned her back on him, we don't know for sure, but his brothers certainly did. And how did that fit into what I was talking about? in the early part of his ministry. His mother and brothers are with him, and they go to a wedding. How many of you know you got to say one thing about the Lord? And I mean this sincerely. The man knew how to party. He knew how to party. And it seemed like he was always at some party. And he told him, he says, you got mad at John the Baptist because he wouldn't eat or drink. And you get mad at me because I am eating and drinking. He said, in other words, I can't please none of you anyway. And there's a reason for it. But anyway, they go to a wedding in Cana. Told you I was going to get into some more chapters. Chapter 2. They get into a wedding at Cana and they run out of wine. Now somebody said that was just grape juice. You must be smoking something. That was wine. Can I get an amen? Amen. They run out of wine. And his mother comes to him. Now watch this now. His mother comes to him and says, they don't have any wine. And he said, what's that got to do with me? My time has not yet come. But you know what she tells the people, the dudes at the wedding? Whatever he says to do, do it. Now, John is telling you in the gospel that he didn't do a, this was going to be his first sign. This turning the water into the wine, John calls it the first sign or the first miracle or the first supernatural thing. So I guess just walking by faith and calling those things which be not as though they are is not supernatural. It's just the way it's supposed to be. Because he said to her, to the people, whatever he says to do, do it, which tells you that she saw that everything he said happened. Oh, we're going to get to some amazing verses. We're going to get to it. John himself says that if you put everything down that he did, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it. Then he tells Nathanael in chapter 1, Nathanael, he comes to him Nathanael's impressed because Jesus tells him that he saw him, he knew him before he came to him under the tree. And Nathanael said, you are the Christ, you are the Son of God. And he says, that's going to blow your mind? He said, what about if you see angels coming and ascending and descending on the Son of Man? So evidently, all through his earthly ministries, angels would just come and go around him. See, they didn't put everything down. They figured what they put down would be enough. 5,000, feeding 5,000, or 10,000, 15,000, with 5 loaves and 2 fish, walking on the water. How many people you've met can walk on water? Amen. Raising a man from the dead that's been in the ground 4 days and he stinks. So then, he tells them, fill the water pots up with water. And then they go and take the water, the water pots that's filled with water, they present it to the master of the wedding planner, Jennifer Lopez. They take it over to Jennifer Lopez, ask her how things have been going with Ben lately, everything okay? And the master of the feast said, man, this is bizarre. He said, usually you serve the how's it work? You get new wine first, and then when they've gotten drunk, you give them that old stuff. He says, you save the good stuff for now. So anyway, John says that's the first sign he performed. And then, of course, that got people interested in him. That kind of got him a following. See, the one thing that's lacking in this ministry, the one thing that we don't have that we should have that would cause a difference, that would make more people come just out of curiosity, would be some signs and wonders. I'm going to have to start laying hands on a few of you. I don't have to cast the devil out of none of you because none of you've got the devil. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But I may have to lay hands on a few sick folk and watch them get healed. Amen. We might have to raise a few people from the dead. We may have to prophesy something that comes to pass. You need signs and wonders. Jesus said in chapter 4, unless you people see signs and wonders, you won't believe. So all I know to do right now is just keep talking and start believing that we'll see signs and wonders. And don't discourage them. Let them manifest. But heck, one of the things that bothers us or frustrates me, we offered healing to people and nobody came. You know why? There's not near enough desperation in the United States of America. There's always somewhere you can go, or there's always some pill you can take. Don't shout me down now. So we get to chapter 2, and so they're interested in him. And notice what it says in chapter 2, Jordan. These are in the lineup. I want you to see this. And again, I'm going to talk basic stuff this morning. Chapter 2. But Jesus did not commit himself to them. Listen to this now. Because he knew all men. Now watch this. Verse 25. And had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew, listen to this now, for he knew what was in man. Now what I'm going to attempt to do today is very difficult. I'm going to attempt to show you why you need God. And by showing you why you need God, I'm going to show you that you're not qualified by yourself to be worthy of God. And the trick is to do that without making people mad, because nobody likes to be called names. Am I right? But Jesus knew what was in man, and the nicest way I can say it is to simply say it like this. What was in man was not God. That's what he knew wasn't in man. He knew God wasn't in man. Now, one of the great tragedies of the English language or the translations of the Bible is that we miss the truth about God, and that is that God is a Greek word called agape. If you came to Wednesday night Bible study, you would know what I'm getting ready to teach you already, and you could back me up. See, that's one of the advantages of doing that. But the Greek word for God is the Greek word agape. Agape is not something God is trying to be. Agape is something God is. When the Bible says, now watch this with me. I'm going to take our time. See, he had no need that anyone should testify man, for he knew what was in man. What he knew was in man wasn't God. And he knew that, he knew, let me say it like this. Let me keep going like this. He knew that man's nature was not the divine nature. And he came to give us the divine nature. So in 1 John 4:8, it says this, and this is what I want you to see. I'm going to develop this for a minute, because it's hard for people to comprehend what I'm saying, because I don't want you not to have some level of self-esteem, but I want you to understand where you are in relation to your Creator. And in relation to your Creator, if you haven't received God's divine nature, you don't measure up to Him. And the Bible says in Psalm 1 that sinners cannot stand in the congregation of the righteous. The only way to be in the congregation of the righteous is to receive God's divine nature. And the only way to get God's divine nature is to receive His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I'm trying to be careful about trying to make this like I'm spectacular, but I have to say this to you, that what I've just shared with you, I don't know if 1% of the Christian population understands that. We've gotten over into stuff that makes no difference at all about anything. Amen. I can't quote the verse, but Jesus said something about you swallow a gnat or something about passing. Anyway, I can't quote it, so I won't say it. All right. So in 1 John 4:8, watch this. Here we go. Watch this. He who does not love, this is the word agape, the Greek word agape, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Say that with me. God is love. That is who He is. It's not who He's trying to be. That's his nature. That's what he is. He's love. There's no hate in him. Listen to me. There's no evil in him. There's no arrogance in him. I say this all the time. I say it because I want you to understand it. If I made all this, every single day my name would be up in the sky. You're welcome. You're welcome. And then I would pick certain people that I wouldn't let my sun shine on. S-U-N, not S-O-N. I wouldn't have let the sun shine on that boy that walked in that schoolroom. But again, it illustrates that we're free moral agents. And we're under the control of something that's not God. God's not a thief. God's not a murderer. God doesn't want to kill children. God wants to bless children and help children. He scolded the apostles numerous times in the Gospels. They brought infants to him, and they said, get them kids away from us. And I know how they feel. And he said, bring them here to me. And the Bible says he took them in his arms and blessed them. Because that's who God is. And then he put a little boy in front of him and said, if you don't receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you're not worthy of the kingdom. See, God is love. So here's the nicest way I can say it without saying it too mean. God is love, and we're not. And when I say we, I mean humanity in general. I mean man in his fallen condition. That's the reason why the Bible says that he did not commit himself to men, because he knew what was in man, and he knew what was in man was not love. Love. The love of God would have never picked up a stone to throw it at the Lord Jesus Christ. He kept telling them the same thing. I'm here. I represent God. I am God. And you don't know God. You haven't seen his form. You don't know who he is. But he said, I'd be a liar if I said I didn't, because I do. So that's why he had to come. He had to come to get us a new nature. And the only way he could get us a new nature was to take on our nature. You know, there's all kinds of things I don't know, but I do know this. I know what I'm talking about. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, we took everybody through chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians at the Sunday school class or the Wednesday class, but basically, if you go over to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, you find out. Can we do it just real quick? 1 Corinthians 4. I'm going to go fast on it but I want you to understand that, remember now, this is not something God's trying to do. This is something he is. 1 Corinthians 13, start at verse 4. Quickly, love, agape, God suffers long and is kind. Does man do that in his natural state? Do we suffer long and are kind about it? We might suffer long, but we're mad about it. Amen. Are you listening to me? Love does not envy. You know why Jesus, you know what Matthew and Mark both say? That the reason why the Pharisees killed Jesus was because of jealousy and envy. That wasn't God, that was the devil and the nature of the devil. I threw that in quick. I don't need to worry about it. Most people don't catch any of it anyway, so, you know. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Ooh. Ooh. Have you seen this generation that's coming up behind us? Ooh, they're puffed up. Amen. I'm going to get me some skinny jeans. Again, here's what I want you to understand. Sometimes I've had people try to teach this, and we try to build this into us and confess this and make this a reality. You're going to have a hard time doing that. But I'll tell you what you can comprehend and you can embrace, that this is who God is. And this is who we are not. And when I keep saying we, because I'm talking about mankind. the world that Jesus came to save, the world that God loves. We're not that way. If we were that way, he wouldn't have come. Listen, Christ Jesus, listen, I won't turn to these verses because of time. Christ Jesus, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. 1 Timothy, I think it's 1:15. Let's put it up. Let's put it up. I don't want people to think I'm making any of this stuff up. 1 Timothy, I think it's 1:15, Jordan. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. And let me teach it like this. So again, we're reaching out to folk and we want people to see this. And then I want you to see at the end that this is not who you are anymore. But this is who you were. And this is who you are if you haven't been born again. Does that make sense? And again, that makes people mad. Let me tell you another reason why that makes people mad. I had one of my worst days ever yesterday on the golf course. I did. It was terrible. It was terrible. I'm no good at it. I've got to give up the game, and I don't know how to do that. I've got to give it up. I did end up winning $55. I haven't told Teresa that yet, but I shot 101, still won $55. So I'm going back. No. But listen, I want to tell you something. I want to say something to you. I'm born again. I have God's nature on the inside of me. I've been born again. But I'm telling you right now, and I mean this, and this is embarrassing. And God's dealing with me on it. I'm being honest and forthright with you. God's dealing with me on it. Those people didn't see God in me yesterday. And see, that's the other problem we run into, because we're mouthing this stuff off, and then they're like, well, wait a minute now. I saw you throw that 3-wood. By the way, it was a really good toss. If you could hit a golf ball as good as you can throw a club, you'd be a pretty good golfer. And I'm telling you, I came home. I mean, I'm telling you, the Lord has told, I mean, there's something internally in me. I'm going to have to make some decisions. Either I play it right or I don't play it at all. Because, see, a lot of those people know I'm putting that stuff on Facebook. A lot of them, they're friends on Facebook. They know we're putting these verses out on Facebook. And they're like, he's putting that up on Facebook. He ain't no different than me. See, that's another problem we run into. But guess what? I'm born again. You may not see it, but I've actually got God's nature on the inside of me, and I got that nature by receiving Jesus. Now, I'm accountable for that behavior, and that's no way to act. Amen. And any of us that's been parents and had to raise children, there's been some times where we've had to go in and apologize to our kids. I remember I was taking Jordan to school one day, and he left the door open. And we backed up into the garage, and the door hit the garage. I was terrible to that kid. He still doesn't like me because of it. No, see, that's the other problem you run into. But it don't do away with the truth. It don't do away with the truth. Now, the good part about what I shared with you, because I bared my soul to you, the good part about what I shared with you is that if I didn't have God's nature, it wouldn't have bothered me. But it did bother me, and it still bothers me, and I got to do something about it. I got to correct it. I either got to correct it, or I got to walk away from it. Can I get an amen? But this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save people that don't have God's nature. That's what sinners are. See, sinners are not sinners because they sin. Sinners are sinners because they have the sin nature. Some of this, that's the reason why you got to listen to this stuff more than one time. And that's the reason why you got to pinch yourself and say, how in the world could he say those things and act some of the ways he acts? I don't know myself. It's embarrassing. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he identified himself as a person that needed redemption. Y'all see that? Does that make sense? Everybody tracking? Love does not behave rudely. Man, that was rude behavior I exhibited yesterday. Rude behavior. Amen. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. What do you got to be saved from? Remember the GI that I met? I had CQ, is that what they call it? It was CQ. And I wasn't the sergeant, I was the assistant. What do they call him, the runner? Mm-hmm. I was good at running. And so you're up all night, 24 hours, right? Wasn't it 24 hours? And so I came down there one time with my Amplified Bible to read during the, can I tell on the CQ? He said, soldier, you stay up here. I'm going to go to the barracks and get a little nap in. I said, all right, I'll take care of it. Anyway, this dude walks in all drunk up, and I knew him well. And he saw that Amplified Bible on the counter, on the table. And he said, hey, Browning, what's that do, make it louder? I thought that was a good question. And I boldly stuck my chest out at 2 o'clock in the morning with nobody in the barracks but me and him awake. And I said, you need to be saved. I gave him that old you need to be saved finger, Jerry. You know how successful we are when we do that, right? I said, you need to get saved. And he said, from what? Yeah, never forget as long as I live. You know what? I couldn't answer his question. You know what the number one truth of lawyering is? Don't ask the question if you don't know the answer. He said, what do I need to get saved from? I'm going to bed. I thought about it. I said, Lord, I didn't do very good at all with that. He said, no, you didn't. But you know what he needed to be saved from? Himself. You know who I need to get saved from? Myself. You know, even as a Christian, who I got to get saved from? Whatever this thing is, it's left over. Theologically, I can't explain it. I can't go along with some of my great Bible teachers that tell me that there's not something working in me, because I don't know. There's something working in me. And it ain't God. But God's in here. It doesn't behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. This is God. This is who he is. He doesn't think any evil. You know what the Amplified says? Don't bring it up. It'll take 4 days to read. You know what the Amplified Bible says on this verse? He believes the best. Listen to this. He believes the best of every person. What would that be like? Huh? What would that be like? He believes the best of every person. Every person, he believes the best of them. He looks at us and believes the best of us. He sees our future and he sees good things happening. He takes no account of the wrongs we've done. Is man, is that how we operate? Heck no. I got people that's holding things against me that I did to them 40 years ago. Turn it loose. Be like Lazarus. Loose him and let him go. You stinketh with that kind of thinking. Verse 6. He does not rejoice in iniquity. He doesn't rejoice with sin. He's not a party to it. But rejoices in the truth. Verse 7. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. He endures all things. Verse 8. Love never fails. Somebody said, where can you see that manifested? Jesus of Nazareth. I just finished Luke's gospel in my own personal Bible time. Got up to the suffering of the Lord, the persecution and the suffering. They beat him brutally. they beat him badly. They beat him so bad that Peter got scared. Peter, up to that time, had already cut off a guy's ear, bold Peter. But remember, he follows him to the trial, and he sees the beating, and all of a sudden, he don't know him anymore. I don't know that dude. And then they take him and nail him to a cross and hang him on that cross. A man without sin. All four gospel writers make this statement so that everybody can get it clearly. It's said a little differently in John, but they all make this same statement. Pontius Pilate makes this same profession. What evil has he done? And he's up there dying for the sins of the whole world. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's incomprehensible. Only the divine nature can do that. Only love can do that. Only God's kind of love can do that. So now we're going to close up real quick over to John 3 and pick it up next week. Praise God, I love doing this, though, and thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity to let me do it, and thank you for overlooking my flaws. Thank you so much for doing that. Jesus answered, now we understand it. Have you got a little bit more understanding of it now? Did I help you get a little bit more understanding of it? Just nod your head and say yes. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, truly, truly, verily, verily, most assuredly. Man, if love, who only talks the truth, if he has to put emphasis on it, you got to pay attention to what he's saying. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't see it. There's a kingdom of darkness. Man, we went to John chapter 8, and I don't put the verse up, but Jesus told him, you got the wrong nature. You're serving the wrong God, or the wrong spirit. The devil's the god of this world, but he's not a god. He's been defeated. Verse 4, Nicodemus, Mr. Nick, Father Nicodemus, Reverend Nicodemus, televangelist Nicodemus, said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Made no sense to him, because he's looking at the natural. He's looking flesh to flesh. Verse 5, Jesus answered, says it again, most assuredly, really and truly, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you one is born of water and the Spirit. Now that water there is not talking about baptism. That's talking about the fact that everybody that's born is carried in a water sack. You heard about all you ladies, your water broke. Your water never broke, did it? Or did I break it for you? Did I go in there and courageously bust it out? Huh? Or did I hide in the closet and say, let me know when this is over. My God, what is that? Unless one is born of water, being born naturally, and the Spirit, he cannot enter. You can't enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6. Here it is. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. See, me and Teresa, we made Jordy in the flesh. Okay? We made Anna in the flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, amplified again, that which is born of God's Spirit is the human spirit. See, you're not just flesh. You're not just mind. You have a soul, but the real you is your spirit, the hidden person of the heart. God is a spirit. You're a spirit. what separates us from the animal kingdom. See, the animal kingdom has a soul. They have a mind, they have a will, they have a personality. I know I got two dogs with a mind, a will, and a personality. But they don't have a spirit. We're made in the image of God. We're made in God's likeness because God is a spirit. And he tells you later on in chapter 4 that those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the only way you can worship him in spirit and in truth is to become a new nature, is to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Why do I have to become a born-again person? Why do I have to receive a new nature? Because without that nature, I'm not a partaker of God's divine nature. God is love. There is no darkness in him. God is light. There is no darkness in him. And so through accepting Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit literally comes instantly and recreates you, and you're born again. And God's Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. See? We know that we've passed from death to life because we're not prejudiced towards anybody based on their skin color. Because we recognize that all men are created equal, that all men are created by God. He that believes in the Son, John says it in the epistle, he that believeth in the Son has the witness in himself. He that believeth not has made God out to be a liar. Read it to you last week. Y'all see that? 2 Peter chapter 2. What time is it, James? I've talked enough. Let's stand up and we'll quit right here. We're going to pick it up next week. I got three chapters in. On some level, didn't I? 2 Peter chapter 1, let's look at it real quick. I don't want to put my highlighter up here. Watch this. Jordan, 2 Peter chapter 1, is it somewhere in the... By the way, is you not letting Jamin do it? Simon Peter. Here we go. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. A bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. You know when I know that somebody's not been epistolated? When they keep praying for grace and peace. That's the thing that gets imparted to you at the new birth is grace and peace. I put it up on John's on the Facebook today. My peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Grace and peace be multiplied. I love that word. How many of you like multiplication better than addition? Is 4 times 4 better than 4 plus 4? I wish Chris Saylor was here. I'd ask him that. Huh? What's the only number in history that the addition and the multiplication is the same? 0 would be 1, 2. Two of them. 2. 2 plus 2 is 4, and 2 times 2 is 4. The things you get by coming up this morning. 0 would be true too. 0 plus 0 is 0, and 0 times 0 is 0. 0 and 2. How many would rather be 2 than 0, though? Yeah. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and of Lord Jesus and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. Here it is. Verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And it's verse 4, actually, is where I was after. Listen to this. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises that through these, listen to this now, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. You're no longer a sinner. Now you were a sinner, And it don't hurt to remember that. But you're not a sinner anymore. You're a partaker of God's divine nature. Listen to this, and I say this verse all the time. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's why you must be born again. That's why you must be born again. Oh, I hope you've listened this morning. I know that 55 minutes is a lot to ask for anybody to listen to, but hopefully some of y'all have listened in your car and you've picked up pieces of this and you picked up enough of it to hear what we've said to you. I hope you've listened to it enough to recognize that we're not trying to come across like we're better than you. Anybody that knows me, you know that can't be true. We're simply giving you this information because I'm telling you right now on the authority of God's word that except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's the only way to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. And there's no requirement other than to believe it, other than to receive it. That's the requirement. It's the only requirement God's put on us. He knows he can't make it based on works or conduct. He had to make it based on faith so it would be available by grace. So all you got to do is receive it. That's all you got to do. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit has been gracious enough and has been able to use me to be able to get you to understand this, that God loves you and he wants to come and recreate you and give you his love and his peace and his joy. And all you got to do is receive it. So say this with me. Say it because you really want to. Say it. Say, dear God, I want to receive Jesus. I want to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. And I do that by receiving Jesus. So I say with my mouth, because I believe in my heart, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You died for my sins and you rose from the dead so I could be a new creature. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, man, let that marinate. Don't run away from that. Don't let that pass you by. Let that marinate for a minute. Let that soak in for a minute. Man, I had a road to Damascus experience, and I knew I was a child of God, and I knew Jesus had saved me. But if you don't see lightning flash or you don't hear thunder, just believe what God said to you. And just go around all day today saying, I'm saved, I'm a child of God. Jesus lives in me, and heaven is my home. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're there to bring this into reality, into the hearts and minds of everybody that prayed it. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise because you're the only one that was able to do what was done. In Jesus' holy name we pray, and everybody said,
amen.
All right. Praise God. Thanks for that.